This is going to be a very famous and a very, well-known passage to most of you guys. The Bible says this in the book of Joshua in chapter 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity. That word sincerity has been coming up a lot, amen? And in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served before the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say amen? Now let's go over to the book of Judges in chapter 2. Yeah. Starting in verse 6, and the Bible says this. Previously, when Joshua had sent the people away, the Israelites had gone to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people worshiped the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime and during the lifetimes of the elders who outlived Joshua. They had seen all the Lord's great works he had done for Israel. Verse 8, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Eres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. That whole generation was also gathered to their ancestors. That means they died. After them, another generation rose up. Who did not know the Lord or the works that he had done for Israel. Verse 11, and the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight. Say that happened quick. It happened quick, didn't it? One generation removed from when they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. One generation removed from when manna fell from heaven and water issued forth from the stones. One generation from when the walls of Jericho fell and this tiny group of Israelites were able to take on armies that outnumbered them and outmanned them and outpowered them. One generation since the promise of God that he made to Abraham to make them a great nation, to give them a land. One generation from the mighty works of God being made manifest in the world, and they forgot. One generation. One generation. And so my question for you today, Way Church, is this. How long do you think it's going to take now? How long do you think it's going to take now until people forget? And that's why the title of my sermon today is Pass It Down. Yeah, give me back the title of my sermon. Say, Pass It Down. Say it like you mean it. Say, pass it down. Because if you don't feel this, I want you to feel this. If you don't, who's going to? Who's going to? Who's going to fill the minds of your children and your grandchildren with the things that they need if you don't? Somebody will. Somebody will. But I tell you what, if we leave that opportunity open, the enemy's going to seize it. So my challenge to us today is to pass it down. God, we come before you this morning praising your holy name with sincerity. Praising you for what we've seen you do with our own eyes. Praising you for what this word of God means to us and what it's done in our lives. Praising your name for the freedom that we experience. Praising your name for the resurrection that we've experienced. Praising your name, not just for what you've done and what you do, but even more than that, for who you are. But today, God, I pray that we are able to explain to this generation who you are, that they may never forget. So God, today I pray that you empower us like we've never been empowered before to pass it down. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give God a shout of praise this morning? Come on, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now I'm going to ask you a series of questions, but you can wait until the end to respond. And who, and like I said, wait till the end because there's going to be a big old list. But who in here believes that God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing? Who in here believes that he populated the earth with a creation that was made in his own image? Man, who here believes that even after we broke the perfection of God's creation, that he made a way where there could be no way? Man, who believes that God flooded the earth because it got so bad, but yet he made a way to preserve the lineage of his people on the ark? Man, who believes that God, you know, sent somebody via the message that came from the burning bush to set his people free? Who believes that God split the Red Sea so that they could cross over with no evil following them? Who believes that after they walked in the wilderness that they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land? Who believes that as they inherited the promised land, man, the walls of Jericho fell and they were able to become a great nation? Man, who believes when the time was right that through that lineage of Israel, God sent his only begotten son, born of a virgin, to live and die and rise again to save us from our sins? Who believes that God filled these mortal vessels with the power of his Holy Spirit and brought the church into existence with a singular mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the earth? Who believes that we serve a God that heals? Who believes that we serve a God that redeems? Who believes that we serve a God that restores and reconciles and resurrects? And who believes that we serve a God that as soon as he gives the word, his son is going to come back, put evil in its place, and claim his bride unto himself and create a kingdom that we will dwell in forever and ever and ever and ever? Who believes that at the Way Church this morning? Who believes that? Who believes in that? That's good. Say, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you believe that. I'm glad you believe that. Do your children believe that? Will your grandchildren believe that? What about your children's 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 children? Will they believe that? Will they? And the question is that we don't know if they will or not. We don't know if they will or not. But if they do, it won't be because I preached a really good sermon. If they do, it won't be because these celebrity pastors have a million YouTube likes. You hear what I'm saying? It won't be. It won't be because some of us have like clever Twitter sayings. It won't be any of those things if your children's 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 children still believe all the things that I said. It's going to be because you created a legacy of faith in your family and passed it down from generation to generation to generation because it was important in your family. Because it was important in your family. Look, you got to make these things important in your family. You have to make them important in your family. Like, you have to make this important in your family. Man, if you hear when I read that statement from Joshua 24:15 and I say, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." If that means something to you, then you need to make it real. You need to make it real. Because having your parents' faith is not going to save you. Our children having our faith, and hear what I'm saying, is not going to save them. And my grandchildren having my faith is not going to save them. They have to have their own faith. They have to have their own relationship. They need to know why it is that the Word of God is important to you. You can tell them all day, this is important. This means something. They need to know why. They need to know why that this book is important to you. They need to know why that this words in here mean something to you. Because the whole world is going to tell them that this is archaic, and this is outdated, and this is bigoted, and this goes against every progressive thing that we're trying to do in the world, and it's got to go. That's the message. That's the message. And we can tell them all day how important it is. But if we don't tell them why it's important to us, then we've lost a whole bunch of our power. Because in the book of Revelation, it says that the power that we have is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our. Yeah, say it louder. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. Why is this important to me? My children need to know why this book is important to me. They need to know what God has done in my life. In my life. They need to know. You know, I started thinking the other night, I don't really know my parents' testimony. I don't. I'm sure that I've heard. I know my dad was baptized at Horse Cave Baptist just right down the street here, but I don't know why. And I'm sure that I've heard my mom tell me something about why that she came to faith, but and my grandparents, I don't know their testimonies. I know my grandma that just passed recently. I know hers because I beat it out of her when she was laying there in her deathbed. I didn't actually beat her, but I berated it out of her while she was laying there dying. I mean, I literally did. I was like, no, you got to tell me. No, come to your senses a little bit. Please tell me. I need to know. Tell me. And I just berated her, you know, gently, and until she was able to kind of tell me, you know, in the state that she was in, she did the best she could to kind of tell it to me. But that's the only one that I know. My other two grandparents from my dad's side, no idea. I know that my grandma was a woman of faith. I heard her talk about it. I heard her pray. I have no idea what her salvation testimony was. No idea. My grandfather, my mom's side, who in my view was the most powerful man of God I've ever known in my life. Ever. Like the word of God was near and dear to his heart. He lived it. He breathed it. He was that vision of Christ to me on the earth. No idea what his testimony is. None. And my cousin, you know, pastor at Litchfield Crossley, he may be able to tell you. I can't. I don't know what it is. I don't know, but I'm going to go ask him for sure. I mean, we're going to try to figure these things out now because we'll talk about that a little bit more at the end of the service. But I don't know the answer to these things. I don't know what their testimonies are. And what a terrible thing. I mean, I've heard stories all my life from my family's past. I've heard about barns falling down and, you know, and cows getting out and like how my mom pulled my aunt in the floor when she was a baby and how my other aunt held onto an electric fence till she almost died. I mean, I've heard these stories in my family, but I've heard very few stories of how they encountered God. I've heard very few stories of how they had an experience with the power of the Holy Spirit. Very few. And this is coming from a family on my mom's side that would profess to be incredible, you know, Christian-centered, you know, God-fearing people. And yet the stories that have been passed down to my family, very, very, very few of them have anything to do with God. With God. And I've talked to a few people this week, people that are very heavily involved in church, people of faith. And their stories are just like mine. And I bet if you look real deep, that probably many of you, maybe not all, maybe some of you are doing better at this than we are, but probably a good number of you have the kind of same story. Heard a lot of stories of my family. Heard a lot of stories of them. Had a lot of things passed down throughout, you know, throughout our family lineage. Very few of them talk about how my family encountered God. I looked at my Ancestry.com app. In 1591, there was a man named Reverend Thomas Buckner II that was born. He died in 1644. He was the pastor of a church over in, in Oxfordshire, England. So I assume that he was a man of God. mean, he was a reverend. He was the pastor of a church there in Oxford. But I don't know anything about him. Nothing. I've got another ancestor whose name was Shadrach. I mean, how awesome is that, right? Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach standing there before Nebuchadnezzar, and he's like, we're not going to bow down before your golden statue. By the way, we're not going to bow down before your golden statue. And we know that our God has the power to save us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down before your statue. I just wanted to tell you that real quick. And I hope that my ancestor Shadrach had the same kind of faith that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had, but I don't know. I don't know. And I'm scared that in the future, somebody's going to look at their ancestry.com link and see Pastor Paul Grider from the Way Church in Horse Cave. And I wonder if they'll look at that and be like, oh, I had a, you know, a reverend, a pastor in my past history. Man, he must have been righteous his whole life. You know, he must have come to know the Lord at a young age and, you know, been a choir boy and went to seminary right out of high school. yeah, he did. Woo! Yeah, no, school of hard knocks, more like it. But I wonder if they would look at that and think those things. And I wonder if they did that the power of my testimony, of what God has done in my life, of the death and darkness that he pulled me out of and the miracle that he worked in me would be lost. Would be lost. Because for me, there's nothing more powerful in my life than what God has done in my life. But I have to wonder if I'm doing an effective job of passing that truth down, of passing it down to my kids so that they will know it without a shadow of a doubt what God has done in my daddy's life. Now, y'all don't understand, the reason that we have faith in God is not because it was a family tradition. The reason we have faith in God is not because our culture told us that we should. The reason that our family has faith in God is that my dad was dead in his sin, and the power of God reached down into all that darkness and brought him out of it and gave him the ability to even be my dad. Can you say amen? And I want my family, I want my kids to know that. The reason we have faith in God is because of the encounter that we have had with God. Because you see, in Joshua's day, man, the Bible scripture says that as long as Joshua was alive, they served the Lord. His generation that had experienced the Lord, they served the Lord. The ones that had encountered the Lord, they worshiped the Lord. But that next generation, it was gone. Faith was gone. So we have to look at that and understand that where they missed it was not in what they were doing themselves. Where they failed was it passing it down. Was it passing it down? And so I have to think that what happened was the kids saw them doing the rituals. The kids saw them saying the things. The kids saw how to do it. They just must have lost the why. They must have lost the why. Because if it doesn't mean anything to them, they're not going to carry it on. If it doesn't mean anything to them. And the only way that we're going to make this mean something to our children without them having to go through the things that I went through themselves is to make sure that they understand the connection that we have with it. To make sure that they understand why the words in this book speak to us. To make sure why that they understand that when I'm desperate and I have no other place to turn, I have no place to gather my strength from, I have nowhere that I can possibly go to be encouraged, to be able to continue to do the things that I need to do, that I can open this up and find everything that I need. Right here. Right here. Man, they need to know that I don't look to the world to fix my problems. If the people in your household know more about Donald Trump and Joe Biden than they do the people in this book, then you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. I'm sorry, brother, but if the people in your household know more about the UK Wildcats than they do about the Holy Spirit, nobody knows about nothing about the Cardinals, man. If the people in your house know more about the UK Wildcats than they do about the Holy Spirit, then you're doing it wrong. If the gossip that's going on social media or down the road is talked about more than the words that are in this book, than the power that's contained in this book, then you're doing it wrong. You're passing down the wrong things. If the names of our political candidates are mentioned out of your mouth more than the name of Jesus, then you got some serious soul searching to do. You got some serious soul searching to do. And I'll say that about anybody. I mean, I've seen people that in my contemporaries in the pastorate that are using their social media more to talk about what's going on in the political atmosphere than they are talking about what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere, that are talking about what's contained in the books of law more than what's contained in the book of grace. Can you say amen? And dude, it's got to change, because we are passing something down to the next generation. And if they think that they need to put their faith in what's going on in the government as opposed to what's going on in this book, yeah, sister, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. And not just are they in trouble, everyone around them is in trouble. When they saw this happen with their own eyes, they saw the River Jordan split apart so that they could walk over into the promised land. They saw the walls of Jericho, the greatest fortress that they had ever seen. This impenetrable government action fell before praises to our King of Kings. They watched it happen. They watched it happen. They saw the miracles of manna. They saw the miracles of water. They saw the power of what our God can do with their own eyes. And their children abandoned him. They didn't. But their children did. Because they didn't pass it down. Because they didn't pass it down. I know what God has done in my life. I know what God has done in your life, and your life, and your life, and your life, and your all's life, and your life, and yours, and yours. And back there, yeah, and yours, yes, definitely yours. I know what God's done in your life, and all of you right here. Man, I know what God's done in your life, and you know what God has done in your life. And because of what he's done for me, there's no way that I could ever turn my back on him. No way! No way. I don't care if everyone else leaves. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care if all of you turn your back on Jesus. It doesn't matter. If everyone of you comes up to me and like, Pastor, we've decided that you're crazy. Maybe that wasn't a good example. We've decided that all that stuff in this black book you pack around with the crown of thorns on it is garbage. And we've decided that we're going to be secular people and we're just going to go after what the world has to offer. If every single person in this room does that, I can't. Because of what I've seen. Because of what I've experienced. And I don't care how many fact books you pull out on me. I don't care how many numbers you show me. I don't care what you do, because of what I've experienced. Because of what I've heard. Because of what I've seen. Because of what I know without a shadow of a doubt that he's done and continues to do. And because I know that all the promises of God are yes and amen. Can you say hallelujah? Give him praise. Come on. Give him praise. Give him praise. I know what he's done. I'm not going anywhere. And I see a bunch of steadfast people around me. I know y'all ain't going anywhere either. They do. The culture can say whatever they want. And they can go all the way. We'll be like them trout that swim upstream and swim up the waterfall, man. I mean, that's the amount of strength that we can have in our faith because of what we've experienced. But our kids haven't had those same experiences. And they may not. I hope mine doesn't experience what I've experienced. I hope he doesn't have to get in that dark place so that Christ has to reach down there and get him. I hope he doesn't have to. And the only way that's going to be possible is if I can get him to believe what God has done for me. If I can get him to believe what God's done for me, then maybe he can avoid what we went through, sister. Maybe by my experience, maybe I can take the blow for him, for them. And maybe they can come to know God. And maybe they can be those ones that somebody will look at the app and be like, huh, Reverend Logan Grider. Well, I bet he never even sinned in his life, just the one time. But maybe that would be closer to the truth for him than it was for me. Maybe. Maybe. But in order to do that, I have to pass it down. In order for you to do that in your family, you have to pass it down. So the legends in my family have to be not about a store in Griderville that they named a town after, right? The legends in my family have to be about what God did for me at an altar of grace. That's what the story should be. Man, my testimony should be fresh on my kids' lips. So if somebody asks them, man, what did God, you know what, why is your family so strong in the faith? Man, God did this for my dad, God did this for my mom, God did this for my grandparents, and God did this for me. I mean, that should be fresh on their lips. They should be able to recount that. Man, I don't care if my kid knows what I did on a football field. I want my kid to know what God did for me at an altar of grace. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't care if my kid knows how many degrees that I have. I want my kid to know how many encounters with the Holy Spirit that I've had. And I don't care if my kid knows like any achievement that I ever had on the face of the earth, except for the fact that I walked and talked and lived and breathed with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That's what you want to pass down. That's what you want to pass down because that means something. That means something. Kids today are just not going to take it for granted, are they? They're not just going to take it for granted. They're not going to follow God just because the preacher said you ought to follow God. They're not going to follow God just because their parents said you ought to follow God. You're going to tell them why. And you're going to have to use your life experiences to amplify what it says in this scripture. You're going to have to be the living, breathing example of what the power of God's love can do in a life. Because they can see you, they can hear you, they can feel you, they can touch you. And when you get filled up with this word of God, when you get filled up with the power of this Holy Spirit, and then you show them and you tell them and they experience his love through you, that can last. That can last a lot more than us just telling them what they ought to do. A lot more than us just griping at them and yelling at them and whatnot. I had to tell a kid a couple weeks ago why we celebrate Christmas. You hear what I'm saying? And bless his little heart, he just didn't know. I mean, he literally had no idea why it is that we celebrate Christmas. Of course, he knew what Christmas was in the natural. We gather around a tree. We give presents. We eat good food. There's chocolate. Hallelujah. There's lights everywhere. It's good. I like it. Right? He knew that he likes it. Had no idea why that we celebrate Christmas. What kind of a jacked up world do we live in to where all the traditions of Christmas, you hear what I'm saying? All the traditions of Christmas have been passed down without the truth of why it is that we have this celebration being passed down. Because the tree became more important than the Savior. Because the gifts became more important than the gift. Because the family man-made traditions that we have all created that go around it have become more important than what it symbolizes. The fact that our Savior was born of that virgin and laid in that feeding trough. Didn't know. He didn't know. But it has to be the exact same thing that happened here. So listen to the scripture from the book of Judges. I've got it right here. So previously, when Joshua had sent the people away, the Israelites had gone to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. They were more worried about the land they'd been promised. They were more worried about the gift than the gift giver. They were more worried about the creation than the creator. They got so caught up in taking possession of the land that they had been promised, in the fulfillment of the covenants that God had made with Abraham, that they forgot all about the God that had given them this opportunity in the first place. And it took one generation. You know what that one generation means? That means we all believe in God and we worship Him and our kids don't. And if our kids don't, what do you think their kids are going to do? And how fast do you think that will happen in today's culture? How fast do you think that will happen in today's culture where they're being filled up and filled up and filled up with garbage every day, all the time, nonstop? Propaganda. Over and over and over and over. You know, I had a young lady that came to me one time and wanted to interview me and said that she was building a compendium of all these different faiths so that she could present this compendium to her child and then let her choose what she wanted to believe. But listen, in today's progressive culture, that's like the most beautiful thing that you could do for somebody. Just let them believe their own truth. Instead of believing what is true. I mean, of course, they'll let kids pick anything these days, right? Yeah, I won't go any further down that rabbit hole. Our responsibility is not to give our children the opportunity to choose from whatever nonsense in the world they want to choose from. Our responsibility as parents is to introduce them to who God is through the word that He's given us and through the encounters that we've had with Him throughout our life. And I need you to understand that your testimony doesn't stop at "I got saved." That's where it starts. I've heard way too many testimonies in my life where people are like, "Yeah, I did this awful thing and I was wrapped up in this sinful stuff and I was consumed in all this darkness and sin and gluttony and sex and addictions and money and all these things and then I got saved." Amen. That's not a testimony. Testimony is this, man. I encountered God and then my whole life changed. And here's where He's taken me so far. And you know what? We still got a long way to go. Man, your testimony becomes that moment of salvation, yes, where you first encountered the Holy Spirit, where you first surrendered your life to God. But then your testimony just begins there. Man, your testimony just begins there. Your testimony is your everyday spirit-filled life with God, where God becomes our center, God becomes our focus, and ultimately God becomes our goal, where our whole life is consumed by Him and through Him. And we should be telling our kids and our grandkids and our nieces and nephews and cousins and whoever else that we come into contact with the encounters and the experiences that we have with God every single day and how it's all through the course of our lives. And how the reason that we live and breathe and we're able to provide is all because of Him, not because of me and anything that I've done, but all because of Him, what He's done. And we need to tell our kids why it is that we decided to follow Jesus in the first place, and we need to tell them why it is that we continue to follow Jesus every single day. The Bible says this in Romans 10. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are they going to know it if you don't tell it to them? How are they going to know it if you don't tell them the experiences that you have had with God. How are they going to know? And that's why it is so vitally important that our story is quick on our lips. Quick on our lips. And you know what? You're going to have to tell them more than once because they're kids. You're going to have to tell them a whole bunch of times until it becomes commonplace. You know, about the time you get tired of telling it, they'll just be starting to get it. We need to talk about how God encounters us every single day in our lives. And that means some things about our households need to change. Right? Some things about our households need to change. What's considered important in our homes needs to change. In the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6, the Bible says this. Listen, Israel. And this message was written to the people of Israel, but this principle stands strong. You can see it over again in the book of Matthew in chapter 22. But the Bible says this. Listen, Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. In other words, all these things need to be the apex of our life. These should be the things we talk about first. These should be the things we talk about most. These should be the things that our children know are most important. Most important to us. You know, way too often. Way too often I talk to people. And when we learn what was important to them, I hear things like, well, they loved hunting and fishing. Well, they loved TV and movies. They were a big fan of UK or U of L. They loved football and golf. Being outside. They loved their family and their friends. Okay. I'm glad that they love all those things. But too often the people that I'm talking about were professed Christians. You know, people will come to me and want to talk about a deceased loved one or whatever, and these are professed Christians. But the most important things to them are fishing and football and deer hunting and their job at whatever. You know, they were a firefighter or they were a tax attorney. If the people that love us the most believe that those are the most important things to us, then we're doing it wrong. We're doing it wrong. I mean, I hope that my child, I hope that after I pass, man, that none of y'all ask my son, man, what meant something to your father? And he says, oh, he loved football and computers and working out and all the things that I like. I hope that when you ask one of my sons after I'm gone what meant something to me, that they just say, man, he loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. You know, he liked all these other things too. I mean, he was a well-rounded individual, but man, he was in love with the Word of God. He loved to lift his hands in worship. He loved to teach people what it said in God's word. He loved to pray for people. And I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. If you ask my son what I like right now, he'd be like, he likes the Raiders. Bless his heart. I mean, that's what he would say. I want to change that. Do you guys want to change that? You guys want to change it? You want to change the direction our family's headed in? You want to change what our children, our children's children, and our children's children's children thinks is important to us? I mean, don't get me wrong. We've come a long way. I mean, if you ask my kids what they think's important to me, none of them is going to say dope. You know, none of them are going to say that. And so that's a step in the right direction. You know, none of them are going to say that money is important to me. None of them are going to say that. You know, they're going to say things like, we're important to him. His wife is important to him. They're going to say those things. They're going to say church is important to me, and that's fine. But I want to take it a step further. What I want to pass down to my sons and to our cousins that live with us, what I want to pass down to them is that Jesus is what's important to me. Jesus is what's important to me. And I'm not doing the best that I could do with that. And if I was a betting man, I'd bet you're not either. I want them to know that this is what means something to me. That the fact that God left his throne in heaven and took on flesh and blood and encountered every temptation that would ever experience and overcame them all. That God surrendered himself to the most humiliating death that he could have ever experienced. That God took the punishment for my sins and died in my place. Me and my wife were watching a movie the other day, and there was a kid that had suffered tremendous loss in his life, and he blamed a lot of it on God. And there was a lady from the church that was trying to minister to him. And she was just telling him that God loved him, and everything that had happened in his life is his mom had died and things. And she was trying to tell him that everything that happened in his life had happened for a reason. And that they should, you know, just put their faith in God and pray to him that he would carry them through. And this little boy looked at that lady and he said, God can go to hell. And the lady didn't respond well. But what my wife said was, you know what she should have said? He already did. And he did it for you. And that's what I hope that my kids know about me, that I serve a God that suffered and died in my place. And it changed everything about me, the course of our family. And I hope they never forget that. I pray that they never forget that. I pray what God has done in my life, in my wife's life, I pray that it's passed down from generation to generation to generation. Whatever we need to do to make that happen, we need to do it. And if it means laying some stuff down, we need to lay it down. And if it means picking some stuff up, we need to pick it up. And if it means changing the priorities in our household, then we need to change those priorities. And we don't need to wait to do it at some time in the future, like I talked about last week. We need to do it right now. You know why? Because this life, the vapor. It's here for a little while, then it's gone. Like my brother always says, we need to shift our perspective from the external, from the internal, to the eternal. Because that means something. That means something. What I want to do right now is just have a time of altar call. You can stay right where you're at, or you can come to the altar as long as you keep your distances, man. We need to do our best, the best we can to do that. But like I said, you can stay right where you are, but would you stand with me? What I want us to pray for is this. That we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. And that we would pass it down. That we would pass it down. That we would repeat these things to our children. That means tell your story. That means tell your kids why this word of God is important to you. And tell your kids about your encounters with God. That you'd repeat them to your children, that you'd talk about them when you sit down in your house or when you walk along your road, when you're staying or when you're going. The Word of God needs to be fresh and plentiful on your lips. That you'd bind them as a sign on your hand, that everything you do, every action you take would be led and directed by God. That you would let them be a symbol on your forehead, that your thoughts even would be of God, what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do. That you would write them on the doorposts of your home and on your city gates. And that means that your household, my household, in spite of the way that the world is going, that we would stand strong. That we would stand strong in the midst of the current that's trying to wash our faith away. That we would stand strong. And that at the end of the day, no matter what comes our way, that we would be able to make that proclamation that's from Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house. Right, you do what you want. You do what you need to do. You do what the world's telling you to do. You follow the culture if that's what you feel like you need to do. But today, I want you to choose. Choose. You're going to go with what they're telling you to do? You're going to go with where they're telling you to go? Choose. Choose today who you will serve. Choose today what you're going to pass down to your children and your children's children. Choose. But wait, church, as for me and my house. Say, as for me and my house.
As for me and my house.
We will serve the Lord. Let's try it again, man. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And let's just worship that out for the next 2 or 3 minutes. As our worship band plays, I want you to pray. I want you to cry out to God. I want you just to connect with Him in this moment. And I want us all to pray that He'll give us everything that we need to pass it down. To pass it down. Not what we've been given by our earthly families, but what we've received from our Heavenly Father. Let's pray.
Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon, be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.
praise your holy name. We worship you in the spirit and in the truth, not just on the outside. Let us not be like those whitewashed tombs, God. Let us be filled with your spirit and your power to the brim. God, we praise you with every aspect of our lives. God, we surrender every moment of our day and our night to you and you alone. And God, let us pass that down. Come on.
His favor be upon you. And a thousand.
Lord, let us pass it down. Lord, let us pass it down.
Your children, their children.
Come on, pass it down.
And behind.
Don't pass down alcoholism. Pass down faith. Don't pass down addiction. Pass down faith. Don't pass down womanizing. Pass down faith. Don't pass down greed. Pass down faith. Don't pass down a surrender to the culture around you. Pass down a kind of faith that stands strong.
He is for you. He is for you.
He is for you.
He is for you. He is for you. He is for you.
Pass down the story of what God has done in your life. Pass down the story of how God saved your soul. Pass down the story of how God set you free. Pass down the story of how God sustained you when nothing else could. Pass down the story of how God took all your broken pieces and put them back together in a way that you could have never imagined. Pass down the story of how he left the 99 and came after you. Pass down the story of how he went into the darkness to find you because you were valuable and you were lost. Pass down the story about how he was waiting for you on the porch if you were the prodigal, or how he put you in your place if you were the older son. Pass down the story of how God still continues to hold you in his hand every day, every night, every moment of your entire life. Pass it down. Pass it down. And never stop telling the story of what God has done for you, has done for your family, and will do for them. It took one generation for Israel to fall away from God. But I want it to be said of us. I want it to be said of us that we continue to love God and to love people generation after generation after generation after generation. That they can say, I don't know what they're doing at that old rundown theater building there in the middle of Hart County, Kentucky. But I tell you what, something started there that continues on and on and on and on and on and on and on.